we are the super nerdy Sailor Guardians who fight for love and justice. And this is Across the Mooniverse.
That's the fade in that tells you we're back.
We're back.
Hello and welcome to Across the Mooniverse. I am Maddie.
And I'm Mike.
And we're here recording, but not the same, but same.
Same two people, although changed by life.
Yes.
Yes.
And by location.
True. True. Yes, I am now in Seattle.
Yeah. And I am in my own place and not my parents' house anymore, which is cool.
that's called an upgrade.
Woo woo.
All right.
I have two cats.
Good for you. Maddie, let's talk a little bit about why the hiatus occurred and why we're back. And so for me, life happened, and then the pandemic happened. And then that had a huge impact on my life, and I ended up moving to Seattle to kind of hit restart on everything, and that's what I've been doing for the last year and a half, last 18 months. I have been rebuilding my life, and it's going good now, and I'm in a place where I'm stable, and I'm happy, and I'm ready to return to our show, 'cause it was... That was like the one good thing in my life when we were doing it, and so I really wanted. I know you feel the same way, but you can speak for yourself. I never let go of the idea of continuing the show. It was in my heart. The show was still active. On hiatus.
Oh yeah.
I'd say it was a sabbatical, but I believe a sabbatical is only 1 year.
It was. I mean, if you think of the. The fact that the pandemic stole time from all of us, same, but different?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about me? I mean, I'm so excited to hear you're doing well, because there was a chunk of time in there that we weren't in, like, normal contact with each other.
Correct, so. Yes. Circumstances for me were such that I ended up being homeless, and I lived in a tent just outside of the Vancouver Public Library in downtown Vancouver for a while, and I've come a long way since then. I got my own apartment. I got a job. I'm like a regular citizen of the year.
For me, I mean, I think last we recorded, I was in security, and then that. Pandemic happened, and that was chaos, and then I was unemployed for a whole year and just like making ends meet, doing odd jobs and whatnot for family, and I did DoorDash for a while. That sucked.
That sounds interesting. Any good stories?
I got a gun pulled on me when I went to go deliver cookies.
Well, that's definitely a story. I wouldn't know if I'd call it a good story. That's a for cookies, nonetheless.
Yeah, I think what happened, it was somebody was delivering cookies to somebody else but didn't tell them or something, and it was late at night, and IFI was closed, so I had to go the long way to get to this person. Finally showed up, knocked on the door. When I knocked on the door, the lights turned out. I was like, that's weird. And then, and I was just like, well, you know, DoorDash policy, I gotta stand here for, like, 10 minutes to make sure that, you know, maybe they're in the shower or something, I don't know. But we can't,
really their policy, because I'm pretty sure when I've had DoorDash, they literally throw it up onto the porch and run away.
Well, I mean, you have to understand this was, like, I don't know, it's weird, so, like... If you go there and you like knock and you try to deliver and you say they didn't answer, if it's like a hand to me at the door, which very few people use,
right,
including myself, Then when they don't answer, you have to say in the app, like, don't answer. And then it gives you a timer. And you can't abandon the order until the timer is done.
Oh, wow.
So I was standing there, and I was just kind of waiting. And I was just like, well, I guess I'll just wait here with these cookies from Crumble. And then a couple minutes later, the lights turned back on. And I was like,
okay,
that's weird. So I knocked again, and I just waited. The lights turned back off. And I'm like, this is so weird. What's going on? And then I see, like, flashlights in the house. And I'm like...
Super weird. Huh. Super weird,
and then
yeah.
About a couple seconds later, the door opens, and I'm, like, looking down, because I was just kind of, like, looking around, going, oh, gotta wait here. And the first thing I see is this adorable corgi coming out the door at me. And I was just like, oh, hi! And then I, like, so excited about this dog, because me... and then I look up, and this guy who answers the door is lowering, like, a rifle from being pointed at me. And he's got, like, another in his other hand, like a handgun in his other hand. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. And I was just like, hi, DoorDash, your Crumble cookies. And he was just like, I'm so sorry. Oh, my God.
He wasn't trying to rob you. He thought you were
Yeah, like an intruder or something.
Intruder, right, yeah.
Yeah. And it was just wild. And so, that happened. And then shortly after that, I walked back to the car because it was at night. And I never DoorDashed at night without someone else in the car with me. And at this point, it was my mom and Amy, who is my other mom. She's my mom's best friend, but,
Yeah.
They were in the car with me. So when I'm walking back to the car, it had already been like 8 minutes and my mom didn't know what was going on. And she was calling me right at the same time that this guy answered the door. So I'm talking to the guy and she's like calling me. And as I'm walking away after giving him stuff, he's like, he offered me some of the cookies. And then he was like, he was like, I'm going to tip you so well. I'm so sorry. And I was like, oh, thank you so much. Whatever. This is a weird experience. I think I'm in shock. And then I come around the corner and my mom's walking up and she's got her concealed carry. And so she's got her gun in her hand.
Oh my God.
And she's like, what happened? What's going on? And I was like, everything's fine. Everything's fine. Chill. It's good.
See, this
just
is,
a misunderstanding.
This is why I don't like guns.
Yeah, same.
Among other things, but the chances of you being a real intruder are so low. You know what I mean? Most gunshot victims it's their own gun. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Anyway, we don't have to go into any kind of firearms lobbying or anything like that.
Yeah.
So my story is I don't have any good stories or bad stories like that. Just kind of sad stories of being being down on my luck. But that changed, and things are going good now. Now, during that time, while I was while I've been repairing and rebuilding, I discovered, and this is almost entirely because of Sailor Moon, anime. And so I am now a bit more. I won't have as many questions about anime in general. I've seen some other Magical Girl stuff, and I like it. But
now you truly understand the swirly eyes.
Correct.
The swirly glasses, it makes sense now.
They do. I'm not, well, only because I don't know that I like them. I won't say that I like them. But I understand how they're used.
Yes.
So I'm not as critical of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's tropes. I see that there's certain things that are common storytelling elements.
Yes, he's learning.
Learning, yeah. And I forget the term. There's terms like moe and stuff like that. And I'm starting to learn all that stuff too. I mean, it definitely is. It's when you think about it, at least for Americans, Sailor Moon was an introduction to there's a huge culture in Japan.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For what Americans call comic books and cartoons. Yeah. They, you know, they call a manga an anime.
Yeah.
But now you look and it has definitely become an American thing too. And there's tons of anime available that's been dubbed and or had subtitles put to it.
Yeah.
And some of
it's produced in America now.
Some of it is produced in America. Some of it seems to me to be produced in Japan, but it's geared for an American audience.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And some of it is just that weird, wonderful stuff. And some of it is anime.
So far,
that's all
so
I
far
got.
of the ones I've seen, my favorite one was one called Ergo Proxy.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool. It was a post-apocalyptic dystopian.
Nice.
You know, and it had androids in it that were human-like, and they. I'm not going to go into it, but it was. I would say check it out to anybody who's into science fiction because it was a good sci-fi anime.
Speaking of sci-fi, you know what? Speaking of things that I've gotten I have a graphic novel version of Brave New World. And it's fascinating. If you've ever read the original novel and then to see it as a graphic novel and then
who wrote the original? Was that Huxley?
Yeah. Huxley.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
George the Perception guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Huxley's dystopia is actually my preferred dystopia if I had to pick between that and 1984.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've read 1984. We had to read it in middle school.
Same.
But I never read Brave New World.
I highly recommend it. Or if
Brave
you have
New World, go ahead.
Peacock, there's a show on Peacock that is pretty true to the adaptation. It does take some liberties and I haven't quite finished it yet, but uh-huh. I was enjoying it quite a bit.
I'll probably just read it simply because I do like to read the originals when it comes to stuff that. That has Soma in it, doesn't it?
Yep.
Brave New World? Okay, mm-hmm. That's where Soma comes from. All right.
Yeah. It is one of my favorite books. I read it in summer school when I was a sophomore in high school.
There's a muscle relaxant whose mm-hmm. brand name is Soma.
Did you know that? Yeah. I believe it, yeah.
And I was prescribed it, and I would say it's pretty close to what they just did. It knocked me out of reality, I'll tell you that.
It made all your bad feelings go away?
It did, yeah. It also made my driving skills go away.
I mean, that's why they put it on the labels.
I know, those warnings. I didn't know those were for me, too. So, all right. Yeah. Well, that's kind of we wanted to just address the audience. Hi, guys. Thanks for listening, and we're back.
Yeah.
We're committed to doing the show on a regular basis again.
Hell yeah! I don't work for DoorDash anymore. I never clarified at the end of that story. I actually work in property management right now, which is lots of conflicted feelings about the field, but you know what? It pays the bills, and I get my own desk where I decorate with Sailor Moon, so...
It's probably that dangerous, too, I would think.
In some ways.
That's true.
I talk about our podcast all the time at work because I'm constantly just like, let me tell you, I've done this podcast. I talked about it today at the store because the cashier at the store asked me what I was doing later. And I was like, oh, I'm recording a podcast with my friend and it's about Sailor Moon. And he was like, oh, really? Da, da, da. And he got really excited talking to me about it and real jazzed about 90s like magical girl anime. And I was like, well, you know, it's a call across the Mooniverse. It's kind of lame or whatever, but you can change that out.
Not lame.
Really, really hope he wasn't, like, trying to flirt with me or anything, because I'm not available.
There you go. All right, so let's get into it.
So
everybody understands, in keeping with the spirit of the show, I have not really looked ahead. Now, to be fair, just to catch you guys up, we did record episodes for 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17.
Yeah.
We did recorded shows for all those, but they never got edited. And we decided to go back to where the last published one was, which was episode 12.
Yeah.
And so we're gonna start over with 13, and we're just gonna archive the old stuff, because the references and the jokes and any kind of cultural references and stuff like that have changed so dramatically because the world has changed so much in the last few years. So I do know a little bit about what happens ahead of this episode, but only a couple of episodes ahead.
Yeah.
I'm not like Maddie who knows every word of every episode inside and out.
I will say, I have not I don't think I've actually sat down and watched Sailor Moon aside from the movies since the last time we recorded.
Okay.
So I went back and watched this episode, and it was it. Yeah, there's no way we could have ever salvaged the old recordings, because this episode and I assume a lot of the episodes going forward are going to hit a lot differently.
Right.
In this day and age. It's a whole different world. It's a whole different ballgame. And we're whole different people. And I'm excited, because you know what hasn't changed? How much I love Sailor Moon.
That's great.
In fact, it's gotten more intense, I would say.
You know what? I would say for me, I have a whole new level of appreciation now that I have embraced anime.
Yeah.
So I mean I like how much Sailor Moon set the standard for certain things.
Sure.
You know, and so or at least for me personally, I don't know if it's true in general, but it made anime a lot easier for me to accept because I you know the thing is, the fact of the matter is if the whole point of this podcast was we do it until you have convinced me that Sailor Moon is a good thing. Then we really could have ended at episode 2.
We didn't need to record a single episode because you already knew.
I was already pretty convinced.
Yeah.
At the end of the musical.
Yeah.
But I still think it's fun to go through and criticize some of the choices they made when they made the anime.
Oh, sure.
And also just to discuss how they presented it to Americans, you know.
Yes.
To me, that's kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
It does a lot, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that, because in this episode, there's definitely there's some misogyny, and there's some girl power, and that brings us.
Hell yeah.
This is season 1, episode 13.
Yes, it is.
Girls Unite, End of Jadeite.
Oh, it rhymes so good.
I made it rhyme. I don't think you pronounce it Jadeite.
I mean, it is. If you pronounce it the Japanese way, Jadeito.
Yeah. And so watching the intro, I couldn't help but notice there was a carp dirigible.
Every time since the day you brought it up.
I swear to God, it looks like an airship. And it's decorated like a carp.
It's just... My life is forever altered thanks to your weird observations of the world around you.
You can't deny that it's whatever it is ascending. It's floating up like a dirigible.
It is.
Okay. Maybe it's like a Chinese lantern. Maybe it's got a candle inside of it.
It might.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's magic, baby.
That's enough for this episode. We'll talk more about carpentry. That's fine.
Of course.
So when I was watching, we've never talked about this, which is at the end of the intro, we now see the girls in the first few episodes they're silhouetted out.
Yeah,
we couldn't see who they were, but at the very end, Sailor Moon strikes her pose, and how would you describe? Because you can do the pose, for you it's like second nature, but she's making like a peace sign. And she runs it across her forehead so it's turned sideways. Right? Yeah. It's a peace sign. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's like the thumb is also extended.
Right. Yeah, with peace, the thumb is in. You're right. Yeah. So,
yeah.
So it's the thumb and the first two fingers are extended, and then she basically sets it in front of her forehead so it's sideways.
Yeah.
And that's just her little move.
Yeah, it's like a salute almost.
And we'll talk about this because when we get to it, when we get to the transformation in this episode, I went through and I detailed what we see, because mm-hmm. each girl is different. But do you have freeze frame poses at the end?
Yes, they do.
Sailor Moon's freeze frame pose is left hand on the hip, right hand making the peace sign with the thumb extended across her forehead. So I noticed that in this opening that she always strikes that pose. And then we have a barrel and jadeite opener once again.
Yep.
And so what I have here is that Beryl's very unhappy with jadeite.
Yeah.
and she tries to say, in my own defense, and she says, I don't want to hear your excuses.
Yeah.
You know, she's pretty much had enough of him. And he must defeat the scouts before there's any more trouble, or else it's the sentence of eternal sleep. That's the threat he's working under in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Plunged into the deepest darkness, never to awake again.
Yes.
What do you think that means?
I don't know, but she does at least acknowledge that he has done a decent job of gathering energy.
Yes.
But he has failed her in the fact that he hasn't handled these three little girls, as they are referred.
And how could you not just deal with three little girls? What are you, like?
Exactly. I don't even
remember how old they are. Early 20s?
They're 14.
No. I know how old Usagi and friends are.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about jadeite.
Oh, I have no idea. Yeah, I have no idea how old jadeite is.
I think, like,
I figured,
early 20s.
I figured he was in his late 20s, but I mean...
I could look it up. That's a thing I do on this.
Look things up.
Our assistant looks it up. We did lose our assistant over the break.
Yeah, of course. Did we get a new one?
Yes.
Our intern? We got a new intern.
We got a new intern, yes.
All right, good. Thank God. How old? You know how old Tuxedo Mask is, don't you? You have inside information.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do. And depending on what version, it differs.
Oh, okay. You mean if it's crystal or if it's...
Manga or anime?
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Are you looking that up? So while you're looking that up...
Yeah.
It ends with the threat of eternal sleep.
Yes.
And jadeite's basically saying, I won't fail you again. And, you know, I don't know if we're pulling for him, but I mean, I think Beryl's being a little tough on him because he has gathered energy, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, he is a master of disguise, so he's done so much.
Yes. Indeed. Indeed. Okay. So then it cuts to Usagi is stargazing. She's staring out her window, looking at the stars, and she's seeing constellations. She sees, like, Virgo and Sagittarius and what have you. And then, and then all of a sudden, she sees one in the shape of Motoki.
Yes.
And then the next one is in the shape of Tuxedo Mask.
Yes.
And she wonders to herself. She thinks she's kind of amazed that she has a crush on two different guys. She thinks that's quite something. And she muses to herself, if only Motoki were Tuxedo Mask.
And Luna says to her, your crushes are like bubbles in the ocean.
Yes. They don't last very long.
It's like, damn, girl. All right.
Luna's the official buzzkill of the show.
She keeps it real. She keeps it real.
She's definitely critical of our girl. That's for sure.
I mean, she wants the best for her.
Yeah. True. But she also doesn't have much of a choice. I mean, I get the feeling Luna didn't choose Sailor Moon. Somebody else assigned Luna to Sailor Moon. That's how it seems to me. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, did Sailor Moon get chosen because she took the Band-Aid off of Luna?
Is that... Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay. All right.
So... For now.
Gotcha. So maybe there's more to be revealed later.
I guess as far as
we know, that's what happened. That's...
Exactly.
Okay. Because Luna was just a stray cat with a Band-Aid over the whatever the marking is on her forehead.
The crescent moon bald spot.
Is that what it's a bald spot? Okay.
Yeah, that's how it's canonically referred to.
All right, it's a marking. Cats don't get tattoos, so it's not a tattoo.
It's a bald spot.
It's a bald spot, very good. And then, because I was looking, the reason I even bring that up is I was looking over the manga. I was looking over how far we are in the manga. And I found it online. I found a resource where the entire manga is available for viewing online. So I don't have to stress about having lost the book you got me. It will be found at some point.
Yeah.
It's safely in my brother-in-law's house. Which is, believe me, he's lived in the same house for like 20 years. So there,
I've been there.
And he has quite a collection of items. So it's quite understandable that it could get misplaced there. But it is safe.
Sure.
But the good news is that I can refer to the manga now at any time I want because I found this site that I can just look it up.
So very nice.
That's helpful. That's a good resource for the show.
For sure.
Yes. All right.
I can reference the manga at any time because I have like several different copies and versions of it because I am that person.
Exactly. Go ahead and make a plug for yourself. That's good.
I have like three different half-finished Japanese versions of the manga.
Wow.
So. And I bought them all with the intent of going, someday I'll be able to read this. And that's, like, half true. So.
How much do you think you can comprehend now when you try and read it?
I mean, it helps that I know...
They already know the story, yeah.
The story. I know the source material very, very well. So it makes reading it a little easier because I kind of, like... But then I also take the time to actually, like, read it phonetically in my head, too, not just auto-translate it.
Uh-huh. Do you look things up? Do you find yourself looking things up?
Sometimes, but Sailor Moon, since it was intended for a younger audience, typically, anytime there's kanji, it does have, like, the furigana to show you the pronunciation above it.
Okay.
So, a lot of the times, you don't have to look stuff up if you're looking for pronunciation, and... Because it's intended for younger audiences, it's a little bit less complex in the sentence structure. So, with my very, 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 very basic understanding of Japanese, I can get along because I know the story so well.
Gotcha.
There are moments where I'm like, what the fuck does that word mean?
it's probably not a bad bad thing to be trying to read for someone who is beginning to learn Japanese.
Sure.
As opposed to trying to read a technical manual for a thermonuclear device.
Truth.
Yes.
Very true.
All right, so Asagi's stargazing. Mm-hmm. She's seeing in the stars the images of her crushes.
Tuxedo Motoki Onisan.
And then all of a sudden, who appears in the sky?
Jumbotron Jadeite.
That's right. And he addresses the three girls specifically. He's like, listen up, I am Jadeite.
Sailor Moon, Sailor Mercury, Sailor Mars.
Yeah, I like that he does it in order.
Yes, every time.
We've got to keep him in order.
Oh, yeah.
And so, as I was watching, I was like, did everybody see this? And then, of course, we find out that they did. That the image of Jadeite was not just limited to them seeing it. So the citizens of Japan had to have been asking themselves, who was he addressing?
In a way, because they do know of Sailor Moon. She's become sort of a local hero in some places, like the school where she does a lot of saving of the other students.
Uh-huh.
And, like, it's a very sort of, like, Buffy the Vampire Slayer vibe, where, like, she slowly gains the renown.
Okay, okay.
Much but like, then, as you know, Sailor V is already... So it's not very, like...
But say, isn't Sailor V strictly a comic book hero?
No, Sailor V is real.
Oh, it's real, okay.
Yes.
So the fact that they have a Sailor V video game, it's based on the real superhero.
Yes.
Okay. It's good that to understand. I didn't know that. I thought she was simply a character.
Okay. I mean, she's so popular, they made a video game about her.
I understand. In the Moonverse, Sailor B is a real magical girl who's out saving the world.
Yes.
Okay.
And canonically, she works with the police.
Okay.
There solving mysteries and detective work.
Oh, there you go. You dropped out there for a second. That was weird.
Dun dun dun.
Okay, so did anybody else see it? So then he summons them. Is that a real airport that he summons them to?
The Haneda Airport?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a real airport.
Is that the one that's built right on the ocean? Is that the one where they actually poured, they had to bring gravel out and dump it and make land for it?
Possibly. The Tokyo airport when I flew out. Narita is where I flew in. So.
Because I know there's an airport in Japan where they actually made the land for it. And so I'm wondering if that's it because it's surrounded by water, as is this airport in the anime. That airport is surrounded by water as well. So.
I would say because we already know that Naoko used a lot of Japan where she grew up.
Uh-huh.
It's probably that airport. Yeah. Okay. It's exactly that airport.
Yeah. Okay.
So.
And they're supposed to be there at 1 a.m., which is a little late for the girls. I think that was very... You should know they're not up that late.
Oh, no. No responsible lady is.
So then he says, if they don't show up, he says... Meet me at the airport tomorrow at 1 a.m. or else, and then we see him all of a sudden incinerate the Tokyo skyline.
Yeah, he vomits a fireball on them.
Yeah, and then I don't know what the exact thing that Luna and Sailor Moon said, but it's like, you bastard, you know, like as if it really happened. And then K-Dite says, that was just an illusion. And he's just so funny. He shows them that he threatens to incinerate Tokyo, but that was just an illusion. Just so you know, it didn't really happen. I think that was funny. And then I thought to myself that, and I know this is terrible to say, but I wonder if there's extra sensitivity to the idea of you know, the city being engulfed in flames, given its history of being bombed.
I think that might be it, but also, how would you feel if you were a superhero protecting Seattle and somebody said they were going to burn it all down?
True. I'd show up, that's sure.
Which, that's what they're doing.
Well, that brings us to the next scene.
Oh, yes.
Also, I figured it was later in the evening that Sailor Moon was looking up and seeing the stars. I figured it's like 9, 10 o'clock on a school night, right? But all of a sudden, we cut to Sailor Moon, Sailor Mercury, and Sailor Mars. They've all met at some neutral location out in public, and they're discussing Jadeite's threat.
Well, it's not a neutral location out in public. It's the shrine that Sailor Mars resides at.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anytime you see that, like, a big courtyard area, and it's just them.
Okay,
that's the temple. That's Hikawa Shrine.
They're at the shrine that Mars is at.
Yeah, okay. With right. Ray Jean.
I don't know. I'd say Ray. Yeah. So they're meeting there, discussing the threat, and Mars, of course, he wants to fight. That's who she is.
I believe her exact words were, "We must always face evil's challenge."
That's right. And then, but then Mercury, of course, she wants to be smart about it, And she's like, we need to come up with a plan first. Which is very...
As is
very,
prudent.
That's very Mercury, you know. That's,
oh, yeah.
You know, that's coming from... That's coming from... Ame. Is that how you say it? Ame? Amy?
Amy, yeah.
Amy. That's very Amy. I like the... I still think of her now as, like, some of her characteristics are coming from the idea that they were going to have her be a robot.
Yeah.
I wish they would have done that, honestly. That would have been kind of cool. But anyway, and then, of course... Then, of course, they ask Sailor Moon what she thinks they should do. Because she's scared and doesn't want to go.
Exactly. Which, honestly, mood. Like, that's... Nah, no thank you. Sounds great, but nah.
She literally says, I'm scared and I don't want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. That's honesty for you.
I love the fact that they are always very honest with their feelings for one another, like, in every situation. Like, Usagi never, ever sugarcoats how she feels.
And she's never... Like,
hey, this is me.
no matter how much crap she gets from Luna, or from her parents,
yeah,
or from any of her peers, she's unapologetic about about what she does and how she feels. She does not feel the need to feel embarrassed about it. You know what I mean? It's she's just like, no, this is how it is with me. I do like that. Isn't that technically, wouldn't you call that wearing your heart on your sleeve? Kind of, that's kind of...
I think I would just say authentic.
Authentic, very good.
Yeah.
So then after they all kind of groan when Sailor Moon says she doesn't want to go. To a breakfast at Usagi's house, mm-hmm. And we see a news report that a mysterious image appeared in the sky, but it's probably a prank.
Yeah.
However, the police will be standing by at the airport.
Yeah.
So it is addressed. So it was seen by the citizens of Tokyo.
Yes.
And the news is of course has to cover it because that would be a pretty big news item, I would think. If an image of some giant guy threatening to blow up the city happened, and the police would have to respond to it. That all checks out with me.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes to the school, doesn't it, from there?
Yeah, we go to the school, and...
And the kids are talking about it. And they all say they want to go to the airport and check it out, because it's going to, you know... It's either going to be nothing, or it's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah.
And Sailor Moon is like, no, don't go. It'll be dangerous.
Usagi's like, we should stay. We should study. We don't need to go. You have much more things to spend your night on.
That's right. That's what she says. Don't you think if you have extra time at night, you should spend it studying? And Haruna freaks out. Isn't that her name?
Isn't that
Haruna? Good for me. I remembered something. Yeah.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah. She can't believe this is coming out of Usagi's mouth.
She's like, what? Mm-hmm. And then Usagi says, "Chotto minamatte," which means, hold on, everyone. Hold on.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and I mean, she's just worried about her friends. So it makes me sad that everyone's just like, you must be crazy because you never say things like that. Usagi, are you sure you're okay?
After school,
she's upset that everyone is thinking that there's something wrong with her because she wants them to stay safe. And so then she goes and she's talking to Motoki at the arcade, as she is wont to do. And she is like... She's like, I'm so sad. He goes, I understand, but I kind of agree with your teacher. It's so unlike you, to be like that. Part of the reason that I like you is that you have a unique personality, and I like girls with unique personalities.
I'm remembering now, yeah.
She's like, really? And then she just gets, like, giddy happy and is skipping down the street, as she's wont to do. And as is also wont to do, her shoe flies off her foot.
And hits and who?
Hits our good friend, Mysterious Stranger.
Right. And then he says, this is the second time you've hit me with a shoe. Which
I mean, this is more than the second time that she's hit him with a shoe.
But you know, other times it's been garbage too. She's also
thrown. Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true. Yeah, and then he kind of gets up in her face about it, and he's like, anybody who would like you. She's like, I don't care what you say, because the person I like says I'm amazing.
That's right.
And he's like, well, they must be a loser, because you're a loser, and it takes one to know one. And then she's like, how dare you call Motoki a loser? Oh my god. In so many words. And then starts crying. And then everybody else around, because they're on a crowded street, starts looking over, and they're like, oh my god, who's that man making that young girl cry? Who's making that girl cry? Oh my god, I can't believe he's making that. He's like, please, oh my god, here's your shoe back. I gotta go. And he, like, tosses her shoe at her and, like, hits her. And then he just, like, books it. He's well, like, bye.
Maybe as an older, basically a man, a young man, he should think twice about, you know, criticizing her for her boyfriend choices.
I mean, maybe he was angry because she hit him with the shoe.
That could be. It does keep happening. We have to, I'll admit that. I mean,
I would be kind of frustrated if the same person kept hitting me with garbage and detritus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So does that bring us to the airport where they...
Yeah, I have a couple more notes, and then I have... Okay. So I have, at this point, it then cuts to Jadeite putting all of, like, the airport personnel asleep.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say something about that.
Yeah.
Why didn't he just do that to begin with? Instead of these elaborate plans to extract energy from people, why didn't he just put everyone to sleep and get their energy?
Because I think at the beginning of the episode, Beryl gave him more power.
Oh, okay.
But I could be wrong. It might just be he's like, he was holding back, trying to be subtle. Because, you know, he's a master of disguise.
Right.
So he's trying to be subtle. And then now it's his last ditch effort. So he's going to go all out. He's going to go balls to the wall.
I'm just saying, if I had the ability to cast a sleep spell that had that big of a range, I wouldn't bother with these elaborate schemes that he's cooked up in the previous episode.
That's fair.
But then again, as we've come to learn, he's not the brightest bulb on the tree. I mean, he is,
but he isn't.
He's in trouble with Queen Beryl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real.
So he puts the staff to sleep at the airport, including the police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does. And then it cuts to our girls getting on a train. Encounter Jadeite.
Once again, Usagi doesn't want to get on the train at all.
No.
And neither does Mercury. Mercury says this is a trap.
Yeah. And Mars, like, she's so brash. She's so sure of herself. She's like, let's do this. Whatever. We're going. And it's amazing.
She turns out she's right.
Yes.
Because in order to, I mean, they're obliged to meet up with him at one. That
yeah.
Otherwise, if he carries out the threat of burning down Tokyo, then
yeah,
it's really
not going to end well.
But it's their fault then. They were no-shows.
Yeah. My next note here is, and I quote, God, I fucking love the music of this show. I need to replay the Super Nintendo game. So.
Is this the Sailor Moon Super Nintendo game?
Yes. It was only released in Japan, and. Wow. In order to play it, you have to, like, either, like, buy the system or play it on an emulator. Not that I condone that, but...
You have to buy a Japanese version of the NES, right?
Yeah. And it's hard to find, but I freaking love it. It's so good.
I know people who still play their original NES system.
Yeah. Well, see, I don't have a SNES. I have an emulator of the game that I've had since, like,
even though you don't,
the early 2000s, late 90s. Yeah. And I've just kept it over the years because I love that game. And yeah, there's one that is an RPG, so it's like, it's very Final Fantasy, but it's Sailor Moon.
Okay.
And it's really good, and I love it so freaking much. And then there's a couple of fighting games that are like Street Fighter-esque.
Uh-huh.
And then there's this game called Fua Fua Panic, where it's kind of like, have you ever played Puyo Puyo Tetris?
I think you know I haven't.
you know? I don't know if you've played any games over the past couple of years, alright? I just thought I'd ask. So it's kind of like Tetris, but it's like you're on the bottom of the screen, and you're walking, and you're, like, popping bubbles, and you're trying to match different balloons of the same color together, and the more that are together, the better the pop, and then you send, the more you pop at one time, you send, unpoppable balloons over to the other side, okay. Basically. But it's Sailor Moon characters, and you can use their special abilities, and it's all really cute. And then there's, like, one or two different side-scroller, like, I can't think of an analogous game, like Streets of Rage, if you know that game.
No.
Or, like, yeah. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game, or, like, arcade games, where it's, like, a 2D side-scroller.
I know what a side-scroller is. I know what that means. So
it's like a 2D fighting side-scroller, so it's like Mario, but if you could kick faces.
Okay.
But it's Sailor Moon, and it's great, and it's fun, and I love them.
And it's called what?
Oh, the bubble-popping one is called Fua Fua Panic.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how would somebody know that that's a Sailor Moon game?
Because all of the art and... Like, it's...
You certainly wouldn't know it from the title. Let's just leave it at that.
I mean, it does say more. It probably says Bisoujo Senshi Sailor Moon on there, but I just know it as the short game, which is Fua Fua Panic. Okay. So...
I would say, and from a marketing standpoint, if it's a Sailor Moon game, you should include the name Sailor Moon in the name.
Well, and most do, and all of the, boxes and the art and whatnot is all official, and it shows it, and it's cool. And I love it. The RPG is called Sailor Moon, Another Story, and it's really good.
Okay. That makes sense. That has Sailor Moon in the title. That's all.
Yeah. But all the RPG has all of the music from the show in it as background music. So when you're leveling up or going through places, you hear the music, and I just hear it in the show, and I get excited. Yeah. Gotcha.
It does have good music. We could talk about the music a little bit if you wanted to. I mean,
sure.
The music gets me excited. It's like,
yeah.
Just to let you in on it, previously, prior to doing a show, like when I was driving over to your place, because we recorded at your place, when I was driving over, I would just have the theme song on repeat. And I would just listen to the theme song, the opening theme song on repeat just to get me pumped up. For recording, and it definitely got me, it created enthusiasm, it got me pumped, as Jane gets to say.
Yeah, I love the music from the entire series. It's just so freaking solid, and to this day, like, there's some background music from, like, the third season that every time I hear it, it takes me back to a very specific time in my life, and it's just my favorite thing ever.
Sure.
It's
like, music is like that, though. I mean,
yeah.
I wouldn't say that the music in Sailor Moon is at the same level as the music in Final Fantasy, though. I mean, the Final Fantasy kind of takes the cake for having great music.
I mean, yes. I mean, they've won many, many awards. As far as nostalgia quality and, my own personal, they're right at the same.
Oh, okay, cool. That's, yeah. I get that.
They're just good.
Yeah. All right, so.
Yes.
so the girls are, they're just in their They're just dressed in their, I mean...
Yeah, they haven't transformed.
Right.
They're just regular schoolgirls.
Is that when Mars wears to school? She goes to a different school.
She is at that point, she is wearing her robes, her priestess robes, because she is a Shinto priestess.
So they're robes. I was going to say, it's not a kimono, what she's wearing, but it's...
No, I think it's... Oh, gosh. Oh, by the way, our intern got back to us. Jadeite is 18.
Jadeite's 18. Okay, good to know.
Yes. So, neither of us were right.
I spent a little time looking up their uniforms, their school uniforms. And did I write that down in here? I didn't. It was just something I did on my own. And it turns out that the uniforms they're wearing are based on British naval uniforms. Did you know that? That's where the inspiration for the girls' uniforms. The girls are wearing the uniforms of male British naval officers. That's what the. Although I don't think the British Navy had the little neckerchief kind of things, whatever you call that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have bows. They didn't have giant bows connected. They had like a necktie kind of thing.
I mean, you know.
Yeah. And then the reason, and we'll bring this up because I can we just jump to the transitions or to the transformations, because I have many notes on that. This is I spent a huge amount of time on this episode going back and looking over every detail of the transformations, because I noticed for the first time, and you know, it shows how much I'm paying attention, that Sailor Mars and Sailor Mercury, they have transformation sequences that we see.
Yeah.
And they're the same each time they transform. It's the same sequence that we run, which in the world of animation is great, because they don't have to paint any new frames. They just get to edit in old animation. And so so it turns out that I was right, that Sailor Moon's transformation is a lot more intricate. So when Mercury and Mars transform, each one of them, it takes 12 seconds. I timed it. And Sailor Moon takes 37 seconds. So Sailor Moon's transformation is three times longer than, which means, that, which is just like animation lock in a video game. It's like she's slower. That's going to end up killing her. Her transformation is more intricate. It's taking longer. That Mars and Mercury can transform faster. So, for anyone who cares, if you're interested in how I came up with 12 seconds, I went from the moment she calls out Mercury, like Mercury magic, make up.
And so Mercury power, make up.
Mercury power, make up. So I started timing it from the moment she says makeup, and so I started timing on makeup, and I ended when she freeze frames. And what happens in the 12 seconds for Mercury is she waves her. You call it a wand? It's a wand, right?
Transformation rod, transformation wand, all right, transformation pen.
All right. She waves her wand in a swooping circle, spins around 2.5 times, ends up with her back to us. She spreads her arms down and out, sends shockwaves out, away from her body, spins around to face us, and then strikes a freeze frame pose. That with upper arms hugging her body and her forearms jutting out. So if you can imagine her elbows are kind of hugging her hips, and her hands are away from her body, and then at 90 degrees perpendicular to her body. And then her thighs are closed and she's knock-kneed. So that's how she ends her pose. She's knock-kneed with her hands, with her elbows to her hips and her hands sticking out. And that's how she always ends. That's how she ends her pose. And then Mars does Mars power makeup. And then Mars instantly becomes basically a naked white silhouette. As does Mercury, she becomes a white silhouette. So basically, her regular clothes disappear. And she becomes a white silhouette. Her wand shoots out five beams of fire. Okay, and they double into rings, into rings that double as they circle around her body. Her body spins 2.5 times clockwise, leaving her back to us. Mm-hmm. We then zoom in on her legs as each foot is circled by 3 rings of fire that then explode, turning into red high heels. Mm-hmm. We tilt up as she spins, still clockwise, another 2.5 times, revealing her her red and white sailor uniform, then freeze frames, legs slightly apart, with one hand on her hip and the other outstretched, pointing down towards the ground. As, so with, we get a little bit more with Mars because we actually see her outfit, kind of. With Mercury, the outfit is just suddenly there. We don't see her. She gets boots, by the way, Mercury.
Yeah.
But we don't see that happen. That just happens instantaneously. She changes all at once. With Mars, we see her red high heels. We see them going from the naked foot to little rings of fire around her feet to shoes, and then her body is circled by rings of fire, and that turns into the sailor uniform. And Mercury and Sailor Moon have somewhat similar uniforms, costumes. What would you call it?
For when they're uniforms.
They're superhero. Fuku. Superhero.
Fuku
uniform.
Would be the Japanese word for it.
Mercury is just white and blue. That's all she is. And then with Mars.
Well, she's two different shades of blue. They're each two colors. Everyone has the base that's white.
Right.
And then they have two separate colors.
Right. And with Mars, she's got the base that's white, and then she has red trim, and then her bow is purple.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then, I didn't have that written down, I just remember it, see? And then here's the breakdown for Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sailor Moon has more words, because Sailor Moon says Moon Prism Power Makeup.
Moon Prism Power Makeup.
Yeah, but the other girls don't say prism. It's not Mars prism power makeup. It's just Mars power makeup. No prism.
Yeah, well, they don't have a prism. Because she's Sailor Moon.
Well, and guess what? Sailor Moon doesn't have a wand. Sailor Moon just sticks her hand out.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So, no wand. Right hand.
Because Sailor Moon transforms with the power of her brooch.
Right. So she doesn't have a wand, but she sticks out her hand as spinning lines at the tip of her thumb, chasing along the tip of her pointer finger, middle finger, and ring finger. So these lines are radiating out from her fingers, and they run down her fingers from her thumb to her pinky in a descending fashion, creating a swirl of color rays, light blue, pink, and green. So that's after she calls out Moon Prism Power Makeup, puts her hand out. She gets these swirly whirlies around her hand. And then the darker blue background of whatever dimension they transform in, because when they transform, all of a sudden, wherever they are, goes away, and they're just in a kind of a void with a dark blue background. and then cuts to Sailor Moon's eyes open, then they blink, and then we pull out, and she spins 3 times. She faces us when she finishes her rotation. The round golden brooch at the center of her bow bursts into swaths of clothing that wrap her torso.
Ribbons.
And becomes her the white sailor. There it is, Sailor Fuku uniform. That's what it is.
Fuku.
That's what it's called. Fuku. It's a Fuku uniform. And it comes from
Fuku.
It comes from the school where that was first used as a uniform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the how do you say it?
Fuku.
Fuku. So I had that right.
It's in her opening Sailor Moon's opening thing.
Eito
Seigi no Seira Soujo Seira Fuku Bishoujo Senshi Seira Moon. She's saying, "I am the sailor suited pretty soldier."
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah.
So I never noticed that because I don't speak Japanese, so I don't listen. So it's her superhero uniform is just like her school uniform with the following differences. The blue bow at her lower back turns a pinkish red. I don't know what color you want to call that. I just call it pinkish red. It's somewhere between red. Pink and red. You call it red? Okay.
Yeah, that's the official color.
Okay. And so then her, when it's a school uniform, it has sleeves. But when she's Sailor Moon, it's sleeveless. And so then she does a full spin and closes her arms in front of her, crosses her arms up over her head and in front of her forehead as more cloth wraps around her hands and forearms to become white gloves with red trim. Mm-hmm. Then we have to do a quick pilt down as more ribbons of cloth wrap from her knees down to her feet to become high-heeled boots red boots with white trim. And she does another full spin around and reveals a blue pleated miniskirt instead of the longer school uniform skirt. So that she, mm-hmm. the skirt shortens when she becomes a superhero. Then she arches herself back past the normal upright posture, tips her head back, and just as a cross of white lines and a few concentric circles emerge from the center of her forehead, marking a spot where a golden headband appears, along with two red spheres, one in each of her pigtail buns. She then crosses her arms as she raises her hands over her head, uncrossing them, bringing her left hand down to the rest on her hip, and brings her right hand in front of her forehead, making a sideways peace gesture with those fingers. She holds that frozen freeze frame with her legs slightly open and her long pigtails spread out away from her body. That is the official transformation of the three girls. I get it. She's the hero of the show. We're going to have more detail on her transformation. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, I never really noticed this before until I was doing this, breaking it down. There's not a huge difference between what she wears to school and what she wears when she becomes a superhero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she gets some gloves and some boots. Normally, normally when she's at school, she's wearing, like, some kind of loafers or something, it looks like.
Yeah, just little, like, Mary Janes, like, little...
Yeah, and then... Yeah. So, but she gets... Those boots are... I don't know if you call them high-heeled boots, but they're boots with a bit of a heel.
They got a little...
They're very
wedgy heel.
For fighting monsters, I would say. They're good monster-fighting boots.
Yeah, and hers are. Sailor Mars's heels?
That's not as practical. No, I know.
No.
I thought that.
No. Sailor Mercury has slightly less of a heel, if I'm not mistaken.
That could be. And then all, so they've transformed, and I don't know if this is the moment when Jadeite says that he knows their identity now, but I know that at some point.
It's shortly after, because they transform after... The police start attacking them?
Well, the police come at them, and then Sailor Mercury's visor drops down. Or no, she pushes a button on the side of her head, and then a visor comes out. And through the visor, she sees that the police aren't really police. They're clay
golems. They're made out of clay, yes.
They're clay golems, yes.
Yeah.
And in the manga... Nephrite, earlier, before this episode, Nephrite is talking to Beryl, talking about how Jadeite is useless. And he says, Jadeite uses monsters made of dirt. He says, Jadeite fails because he uses monsters made of dirt. That's from the manga. In the anime. I just want to point out that I've been reading the manga, too. So, I was like, clay golems would be monsters made of dirt. And this is why Jadeite fails. And so when they realize that the golems are made of dirt,
beat
Mars
him up.
Attacks him. Mars takes care of him with a single shot of Fire Soul.
Fire Soul.
Yep.
Yep.
Her attack. Takes out all the clay golems. She's got a nice attack. That's no bubble spray.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
You gotta respect Sailor Mercury, she's the defensive. So, you know.
Right. I get it.
She's crowd control, baby.
kind of like a bard.
Tactician, exactly like a bard.
So, I'll let you talk from this point. I'll just throw in. So, at this point, Jedi uses telekinesis to control an airplane, and he doesn't have the airplane take off and dive bomb them and crash into them. He has a taxi. That's come on.
I feel like they could just literally just dodge their way out of the way of the tires. Like, they're not moving particularly fast. The girls pretty much outrun them the whole time.
Right.
Y'all just do a little dive. Yeah, you're fine. Good job.
I didn't want to say it, but I felt like a taxiing airplane wasn't really a big threat.
Yeah, So then
Mars is like, they're running away from the airplane as it's taxiing. It's threatening to run them over, but not really making much ground doing so. But they're plenty afraid of it. And then Mars says, I'll just use Fire Soul on it. And then so Luna pipes up and says, no, don't use Fire Soul. Do you know how much an airplane like that costs? And I thought to myself, since when do superheroes care about property damage?
Since Luna appears.
Luna evidently has to report to somebody who cares about that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say that there's been so much superhero movies and, you know, there's just a general focus on superheroes in our culture in the last decade.
Yeah.
They have used property damage as a reason why the public turns against superheroes. You know what I mean?
Truth.
That has been a storytelling element. You know,
Luna's just looking out for their future.
But I would say that what this anime, when did it come out in Japan? It came out in America in 92, right?
It came out in America in 94 or 95. It came out in Japan in 92.
So it came out in Japan in 92.
Yeah.
That's pretty early to be concerned about property damage. That's all I'm saying. It is, good job. That's some smart thinking, but on the part of the creator.
Way to go, now, Cole.
So then, since they're not going to use Fire Soul on the plane, they're not going to destroy the plane. Mercury says, "Then there's only thing one left to do: keep running." So they start running again. So they continue to run away from the plane, and the plane is starting to make some ground. It's becoming more menacing. Then all of a sudden, the plane stops. Apparently no reason, until we see a rose come flying into frame. And
who could it be?
It spears itself into the ground. And who else could it be other than Tuxedo Mask?
Bay!
Tuxedo Mask stops the plane from moving by throwing a rose.
Yeah, he distracts Jedi, who is controlling it with his telekinesis. And when he distracts Jedi can no longer control the plane. And therefore, it stops in its tracks.
And the girls all exclaim, "Tuxedo Mask!
Tuxedo Mask!"
So then Jedi responds by casting a lightning spell. There's just lightning in the background all of a sudden.
Yeah.
And then Jedi and Tuxedo Mask, they fly up into the air.
It's a twirly camera fight.
They face each other, but they spin. About three times, they circle, but they're facing each other. Then Jedi swoops in and takes Tuxedo Mask out with a single attack, knocking both of them into the ocean. So good job, Tuxedo Mask. He couldn't even dodge one attack. He gets taken out with a single blow, and then they both go into the ocean, and then the girls gasp, and then all of a sudden a rose pops up. Surfaces on the surface of the water, and then who comes out of the water? Who arises out of the water? Jadeite.
Yeah. Oh no.
And then she says, "Do you need a man to do everything for you? Women are such shallow, useless creatures." And then Mars says, "Only old fashioned idiots like you still believe in nonsense like that." And then Mercury says, "Right. Denigrating women is a relic of the feudal age." And Sailor Moon says, "No more discrimination." Sailor Moon doesn't use the word denigrating. I feel like denigrating was a little bit above the target audience, don't you?
Listen, Sailor Mercury uses a lot of big words because she's a smarty smart.
True. I'll let it go because it was Sailor Mercury.
Yeah. This is similar to when you said that no one says perks up my day. Which I said like a week and a half ago.
When did I say that?
In a previous episode? It was in a previous episode.
All right.
Because Motoki said, this perks up my whole day. And you were like, who says that? And I was like, me. I do.
Often. I think this is a little different than denigrating. I mean, I had to look up what denigrating means. I had an idea.
I didn't look it up, but I kind of knew out of context. Yeah, so I was like, all right. It's negative.
It basically means to put down. Denigrate means to put down. And then all three of the girls say in unison, all right, let's show that jerk what girls are made of.
And hell yeah!
Girl power.
Hell yeah. And then they come up with a plan. And their plan is, hey, Sailor Moon be bait.
Right, that's the plan. Sailor Moon, yeah. You're the bait. Yeah, exactly.
And that's
Sailor
as far Moon, as they Sailor... tell her. And then Sailor Mercury does her Chavon spray, her bubble spray.
Cast bubble spray, turns into a pink mist cloud.
Yeah. And they use Sailor Moon as bait.
Right.
The reason is so that they could confuse Jadeite and Sailor Mars.
Give Mars time to cast her spells, her little...
Yeah, her Shinto training, her Shinto priestess training comes in, and she casts a spell using her training and sticks a talisman on the back of Jadeite's uniform, and all of the planes decide that they're now going to slowly... menacingly chase Jadeite.
Attacking towards Jadeite, yeah. And this is Jadeite's like, hey, why are they following me now? And it's because you were in a pink cloud, and that gave Sailor Mars time to cast her spells, and now the planes are after you.
Exactly.
And then at that point, Sailor Moon busts out, Moon, Tierra, action!
MTA!
MTA! And she misses. She misses, but she's effective in so much as Jadeite ducks the little frisbee that she throws at him. He ducks, and while he ducks, he is run over by an airplane.
He is crushed by a taxiing airplane.
Yes. And then he doesn't die. He's transported. He doesn't get transported.
He shows up there. He transports himself there.
Oh, he
because
does.
First thing that yeah, oh, first okay. thing that Beryl says is, "How dare you come to me after your failure?"
Okay. Wow, well, he's got some big brass balls then. So he just I guess that was probably his only choice. It was that or die.
And you know he comes and he's like trying to tell her, "Hey, don't." I know I didn't succeed in taking them out, but now I know who they are. We can target them at their homes. We can target their families. We can do all of this stuff. And Beryl's like, I don't want to hear it, fool.
This is a mistake.
You done fucked up, AA Ron.
I think that rage got the best of Beryl because he's right.
Yeah.
That information could have been useful.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to hear it. He's failed too many times.
Yeah. And she just cast the ice cube around him. And the sentence of eternal sleep.
Yep. He takes a long nap wherever he goes in his own little demiplane.
Nephrite gets a field promotion.
Yeah. Enter Mr. Billooey hair.
Yep.
Yeah. And then we cut back to the airport, and everyone is very, very sad.
Yep. Their mourning tuxedo mask.
Tuxedo mask is gone.
But then he appears from behind them.
And he says, it'll take more than that to get rid of me. That's amazing.
And then one of the girls, either Mars or Mercury, asks, who are you? And he says, I can't reveal my true identity yet.
He's like, not yet. Can't do it.
And then instead of saying, believe in yourself, Sailor Moon, he gives this advice. He tells them to cherish the bond they have between them, and then he flies away.
Yep.
That's did you know...
at. He's good at giving advice.
He's good at giving advice, but did you know that he also has the power of hope? Like, part of the thing that he does is when the Senshi have lost their fight, and they just can't go on, because if you notice, he always shows up at that critical time of need, right when they're starting to lose and they don't think they're going to make it, and he shows up, and he basically, I mean, if you played D&D 5th edition, he gives Bardic Inspiration, and, like, gives Sailor Moon a renewed hope to continue fighting. So he's actually, and canonically in the manga, he does have healing powers. So
okay, because we've determined he's not good when it comes to actual one-on-one combat.
He is and he isn't. Like, in some instances, he is. But
you got to take it out with a single blow.
But at the same time, you have to realize that Sailor Moon was created to empower little girls and to, you know, rather than have the big beefy man show up and save the damsel in distress, he is the one who's the damsel in distress.
That's true. I mean, he stopped the plane from rolling, so that gave them time. That gave them time to come up with a plan.
Yeah, he does have his usefulness. He's not meant to be powerful and all of that stuff. He's meant to be a side character, and the main character is Sailor Moon and her friends, and, like, he's involved, but he's not supposed to wow you in that way.
Well, I mean, if it was really gonna be just about girl power, they wouldn't have him. They would win the fights on their own. It does kind of nerf the message a little bit that he comes in and saves the day like that.
I mean, but he doesn't save the day. He's just like, he's like a cheerleader. He's like there. So whenever Sailor Moon is down and out, and she's like, I don't know, I don't know if I have it in me, I can't go on, he's there, and he's just like, you can do this, I believe in you. He's like the best motivational speaker ever. He's there to make Sailor Moon and friends feel so good about themselves that they have the power to continue on.
You won me over with cheerleader, because then it's kind of reversing gender roles, where Sailor Moon is the star football player, and he's the cheerleader.
I mean, that's exactly what it is. That's what Naoko was trying to do. She's like, he's not supposed to be the main character. He's not supposed to come in and save the day. He's supposed to be there as support.
Okay.
That's his role.
All right. You win me over once again. Tuxedo Mask, he's okay with me right now.
I love him.
I know.
He's the ultimate bae.
I know. Fair enough.
But overall, I say Bay lives forever and ever. That's my note.
this was a pretty important episode, I think.
Yeah.
Not just because I got to spend a huge portion of the show talking about their transformation. it shows I'm paying attention.
Yeah.
But this episode isn't from the manga, but it is definitely, this is the end of Jadeite, so this is it.
Yeah. Yeah, and now
I don't remember in the manga how they... I don't see this showdown at the airport in the manga. So I don't know how Jadeite gets replaced in the manga. I don't remember.
Because in the manga, it's much shorter. Like, I think Jadeite has the jewelry shop episode, and then maybe, like, two more stories before he's taken out.
The fights with Mercury and Mars, when Mercury and Mars show up.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and then at the end of the Mars story, he gets put into the eternal sleep.
Okay, alright.
So, and then they're just like, hey, Nephrite, it's your turn.
Yeah.
So the manga is much more succinct.
In the manga, Jadeite is the main bad guy just for a brief period of time. And then...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. The I mean, in the manga, the first three acts, which are like chapters, mm-hmm. Introduce Sailor Moon, Sailor Mars, and Sailor Mercury. Not in that order. Flip-flop the last two. You know what I mean. meanwhile, it took us, what, 10 episodes to get all three?
I'm not sure. I don't Something remember exactly like what episode Mars shows up in.
Mars shows up in, I have it listed right so here. Episode 10. Yeah.
Episode 10, yeah, okay.
So it takes 10 episodes for Sailor Mars to appear when she appears in Chapter 3 of the manga.
Yeah.
So,
And that pace won't remain constant like that. I mean, I think there's going to be more filler episodes of the anime as we go through. I'm just guessing.
The manga is, what, 13 volumes? And the anime is 200 episodes.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's
So my feeling on that is probably pretty accurate that there's going to
be
a lot.
Yeah, I would say that's probably pretty accurate.
it created a lot more content for the anime.
Yes. Including the entire first half of second season, which doesn't exist in the manga.
Very good.
It's part of the reason why it's my least favorite, because it is not canonical.
What do they call the monster of the week thing? Yoma? They call them Yomas, don't they?
Yoma, yeah. In this season, it's called the Yoma.
Uh-huh.
It changes each season, what they're called.
There was another anime I watched called Claymore, where Claymores are entities that fight the Yoma. But they're part Yoma themselves. They have some Yoma in them. They're slowly becoming Yoma, yeah. Have you seen that one?
I've heard of it. I've not seen it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, but when I saw it and they referred to the monsters as Yoma, I was like, oh, that's what Maddie said they called the monsters in Sailor Moon. They called them Yoma. There you go. All right, well, I guess that's pretty much it for this episode.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, this was probably a little shorter. We're just, like, getting back into the groove of things, learning this whole thing. We're recording in a different format, obviously. We're on, we're using Riverside FM to record over great distances. And by great distances, I mean roughly about 2.5 hours.
For those of you who don't know, it's an app that we use that allows us to record remotely.
Yes, which I am very thankful. Out of all of the horrible things that happened during the last couple of years, I am very thankful for the advancements in remote, like recording capabilities and video sharing and all of that stuff. Because
it makes what we're doing right now possible.
Yep. That's so exciting. So I guess we could plug the website, which we have a new website now because our podcast host changed. Podient was bought out by CastOS. And so I don't know what our link is. I'm so unprepared. I'm so sorry, guys. But we'll be on all social medias as MooneyCast. Still.
And the Facebook site is still the same if you want to visit it.
Yeah.
And we'll be updating those now that we have new content. So
exactly. I already know what our first post is going to be.
Excellent.
All right. Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
Getting the pod back together. I was pretty proud of that one.